Good morning. Welcome. Whatever brings you here today, be it custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. If you are new to us and want to find more about who we are and what we do have a visitor's packet. Looks like this little pamphlet. It's in the back of the church, also off to the side here. Just tell some things that are going on in the life of the church, how it can help you and how you can participate in it. So certainly find one of those, and if you have trouble, certainly ask one of the ushers and they can direct you towards that. In your bulletin this morning, you'll find lots of pieces of paper. We like paper here. Some good pieces of paper. There's things, announcements that are in there. There's also a particular slip that I want to direct you to. It's a lavender slip. It looks like this. It does a few things for us. The top portion of it is a prayer request. There's a time later on the service in which we share any joys or concerns you may have. So you can fill that out, and the ushers will collect that later in the service. Middle section of it lets us know that you were here today, and certainly check that off. We like to keep up with people who are here and certainly not here to have them kind of connected with us so we make sure everything's okay. So certainly fill that out, and you can hand that to the ushers during the offertory time if you don't have a prayer request. After the services this morning, behind me to my right, your left, or to your right, my left, either one of those entrances takes you back into our gathering room. And we do have a time in which we have some coffee and a time to chat, catch up on the week, and certainly wish each other well before we start on our next week. If you do need restrooms, they are also out that direction. You can follow the signs back that way. Also, if you have small ones, you can take them back, and we do have childcare up through the age of 5 for you back there. If you would prefer to stay in the sanctuary, either to soothe yourself or another, we do have rocking chairs in the back. Please take advantage of those if need be. A few announcements. Let me just point a couple quick things that are in the bulletin this morning can help you out. It is a communion Sunday, so later on in service, we'll direct you how we do that. So certainly look for directions later on. In the bulletin, let me highlight a couple of things for you, and then we have a third one that's also going to be highlighted by another member. Do you do anything with social media? Do you like? Do you hashtag? Do you snap? Do you tweet? Do you chat? If you do any of those things, we hope that you would share our upcoming series, which is starting today, on our stained glass hashtag, The Life of Jesus. Please, if you use any of those things, have others in the community, friends, family, and so forth, come and get a chance to see these magnificent windows that you have a chance to look at and find out about today. So certainly through social media, we encourage you to share as much as possible for that. Also, we're starting our fall book study, and our fall book study is on the topic, or sorry, I should say the book, of America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. If you're interested in just getting the book, but you can't participate in the book study, we'd love you to do that. If you could be part of the book study, that'd be great also. In either case, starting today, we're going to be selling the book. It's $8. There'll be a table out the side entrance over here. Certainly pick up a copy and participate that series for us. And Peter Swords had an announcement.
Thank you, Steve. I love this church. 30 years ago, there was a special worship service on Sunday, August 9th. It was called a Community Interfaith Commemoration, Interfaith Peace Commemoration, and I have the program here. Dennis gave the prelude. Danny McGowan composed a song for the occasion called Prayer for Peace, and there's a lot more. If you ever want to look at that, I've got it with me. And the reason I brought it is this week is a special commemoration of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that we get to participate in, and I'm going to invite you to that. But first, I'm very grateful for something that happened a month ago in New York City. Does anybody know what that was on July 7th, 2017? Well, the United Nations did something really important. 122 nations agreed that nuclear weapons are wrong and should be prohibited. How many people think that was a good idea? Whoa. See what we've come to in 30 years? And today, there's a family picnic to celebrate that and to celebrate the other, you know, progress that we're all making toward peace even in the face of some of the difficult threats out there in the world. And that picnic is going to be at Thorndon Park at the Lily Pond at 5 o'clock today. So you're invited to that. It's a family peace picnic. You can bring food if you want or not. This week on Wednesday is the actual downtown solemn procession to commemorate the Hiroshima and Nagasaki and to say no, that it should never happen again, and to bring hope and peace. We have a celebration at the end of it at the Everson Plaza, where Pastor Alicia is going to say a few words, and we're going to all share our progress that we're making toward peace. So I have more flyers if you want to learn more about these things. And you're invited to both the picnic today and the procession downtown on Wednesday at noontime. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I just want to point out some people also helping us this morning. We have our liturgist, Dale Fryer. Martha Sutter is going to lead us on our hymn sing, and certainly Pastor Alicia Wood. Sit back, enjoy, participate, reflect, meditate, just be as we begin our service.
Good morning. In the summer, we start each service with a hymn sing where the hymns are chosen from the congregation. We do three hymns, one verse each. So I see a hand. You have to say it a little louder. Thank you. That's great. 641. Appropriate for communion.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
431.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it be.
You've got the last one, 191. Jesus loves me, the Bible.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm honored to say I am the pastor here. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. Welcome. So who is excited to see that the butterflies and the threshold were still here? All right, because I had a lot of people really, lobbying me to keep it. So it stays for now. So we'll see what happens come September. So we start something new today. How exciting. Our worship series theme, Stained Glass, I Love to Tell the Story, brings to mind words from a song many of us learned as children. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. I want to share with you where we start. One is over there. Okay, that's one. Two. And here's three. Right here is number four. And then we have five, six, seven, eight. And then behind our organ pipes is number nine. So we have to, if you have a time, drive by in the evening and you'll see it lit up from outside. So you can see it, the number nine that way. So today we'll be talking about number one right over there. The windows have been telling this story since 1921, when the sanctuary, rebuilt after being destroyed by fire, was dedicated. Each of the eight sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict a period of Jesus' life and ministry. And the window behind the organ, as I said, displays the ascension window into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. We will reflect on one set of windows each week, telling the story of what is happening and considering what learning that story has for us in our time and our place. This week we start at the beginning, Jesus' birth, Christmas in August. What could be better? The scripture quote at the bottom of the window in the King James translation of the Bible is, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the King." The story moves from left to right. In the left pane, we see an angel appearing to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of the Jews. In the two middle panes, we see the familiar tableau of the Nativity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in the humble place of his birth. Shepherds who had been told of his birth are now worshiping the baby, thrilled with the hope and promise they are experiencing. In the final right pane, we see the Magi, who have come from a far-off place to worship the one whose birth they divined from reading the stars of the night sky. Our focus today, "What can I bring?" reminds us of the words to another hymn, "In the Bleak Midwinter," where the hymnist asks, "What can I bring him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a magi, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart." And so today, we ask that same question. What can we each give today to bring the kingdom of God, made human in this birth of this little baby, closer to our lives, to our community, and to our world? So let's begin the journey by singing, sitting in your pew. I love to tell the story, and it will be on the screen, and it will also be in your hymnal on 156.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
And I wish you good morning this morning. And my name is Dale Fryer, and I am your liturgist and also song leader. And would you please join me, stand with me, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. This is from a Carol Penner prayer, Message from the Manger. We love you in the manger, Jesus, your little hands and feet, your soft breathing, your eyes closed in sleep. Forgive us, Lord, for preferring a Savior that doesn't talk. In this time where the world around us is convulsing with violence and bigotry, a Middle Eastern baby with dark skin is threatened with violence and becomes a refugee. Please remain standing and join now in singing our opening hymn. Mary had a baby. Mary McGowan had a baby. Mary had a baby, my Lord. Mary had a baby, my Lord. Mary had a baby, Mary had a baby. Mary had a baby, my Lord. What did she name him, my Lord? What did she name him, my Lord? What did she name him? What did she name him? What did she name him, my Lord? She named him King Jesus, my Lord. She named him King Jesus, my Lord. She named him King Jesus, she named him King Jesus, she named him King Jesus, my Lord. Where was he born, my Lord? Where was he born, my Lord? Where was he born? Where was he born? Where was he born, my Lord? Born in a manger, my Lord. Born in a manger, my Lord. Born in a manger, born in a manger. Born in a manger, my Lord. We have come to know this baby by many names: King Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, Shepherd, Suffering Servant, Word of God, Brother. If Jesus is our brother, we are all indeed one family. Let us now celebrate our family and greet each other, old friends and friends-to-be, by either shaking hands or a fist bump or a friendly hello. Good morning. Peace be with you. Please share the peace of Christ.
Will the children please come forward if they'd like to have a tour with me? as we get gather the children, let's sing them in.
Yes, now. Hallelujah. 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 Please be seated.
Wonderful. More children have come. All right. So we have a couple things going on today. Welcome. I'm so glad to see all of you. First, we have these plates up here, and I haven't talked about them yet, and I'm wondering if anyone has wondered, why do we have this clothesline with plates on here? Has anyone been wondering that, or have you noticed? Yeah, you've been wondering? So up here, we have a thing called the Plate Project, and it's run through CNY Food Bank, and I'm going to talk more about that a little later. So know that that is there. And what I want to do is, because we're talking about the stained glass windows today, I thought we would go look at the stained glass window we're talking about and see what you all see in it. Okay, so will you take a field trip with me? All right, let's go over. We're going to look at window number one. And so what I'm going to ask you when we get there is, what do you see in the window? All right, let's see. What do we see in the window? Come on over, gang. All right, what do you see?
I see an angel and three men, one woman.
Okay, let me ask, come on down a little bit more so you can see. What else? What else do you see over in the window? Yeah, what do you see?
I see the shepherd worshiping Jesus.
Yes. Anyone else see anything? So I see something else besides all those pictures. I see an angel, like Eric said, and I see shepherds, and I see the magi or the wise men. I see Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. But you know what? At the very bottom, do you see all those words down there? Down here, eye level for me. Do you see those words? So those words, they're hard to read because they're kind of small from here. I see Charles Clark, and I see Mary, can't read that word, and Charles Wilkins. And I'm bringing this up because those names are people who sponsored these windows and were a part of the church in 1921. And so I wanted all of you to know, not only are there pictures, there's also a lot of legacy and local history here too. So I wanted you to see not only the picture, but those names in there as well. So anything else that you see that you want to tell me? All right, well, let's pray together before we walk back to
I
our...
I see camels.
Oh, you see camels too, yes. The camels are right in the back on the, what is that, the right side top. Okay, will you pray with me? And then you can go back to the to your family that you came with, okay? Loving God, we thank you for these gifts of images made of stained glass and the stories that they tell about you and your life and your ministry and all that we need to learn. Please be with us as we learn about these images and about these names that are a part of our local history as well as a part of our faith journey. We pray all this in your many names. Amen. Amen. So we can go sit. Thank you for taking this journey with me all the way, hi, to the stained glass window number one. So as a part of a worshiping and prayerful community, if you would like your prayer read as a part of our worship today, please write it on that lavender or purple slip that you have in your bulletin, and the ushers will come forward to collect them. And let's settle ourselves, settle our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and sing together our call to prayer.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in my ear.
Let us join together in a time of prayer first, as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever tradition or language that you feel closest to God to pray. Creator God, indeed we gather this day for many reasons. It may be for a regular ritual on Sunday morning, practiced from childhood. It may be that we were invited by a friend. Or maybe our heart is heavy and we hope to find a little relief from the pain here in this place. No matter the many circumstances, we are here in community, illuminated and surrounded not only by these beautiful stained glass windows, but by your love. That same unconditional love that you offer to everyone, everywhere, every moment, forever and ever. Mother, Father, Creator God, we are profoundly grateful to be invited to be a part of your kingdom as Christians, whether from inside these four walls or whether we're outside at work and at play. And it is with gratitude that fills us as Christians, that we are able to love others as you love us. Indeed, let love and peace begin with each of us. And now we join in that prayer Jesus offered when they asked him, how should we pray? Mother, Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And now, if you would please stand or remain seated as you are able, and join with me in singing In the Bleak Midwinter. It's found on the screen and also in your hymnal on page 221.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long time ago, our God in heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Angels and archangels, they have gathered here. Cherubim and seraphim throng the air. But his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshiped the Beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart.
Please be seated. What can we give him? Give him our hearts. Our hearts, our scripture this morning describes the visit of the wise men, the magi, to worship this special baby, as well as explaining this visit's uncomfortable ending. I am reading Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, verses 7 and 13, and I am reading from the Common English Bible. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of Herod, King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled. He secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary and his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. The Magi can represent all of us as we see signs and take risks on our journey. We are going on a journey with our windows and the historical Jesus this summer and in through September. You know, the windows are so just beautiful. I actually have never been able to just take them all in because they're just so beautiful. And in this beauty, we have this simple clothesline with weathered clothespins and simple plates. It almost disrupts this beauty, and you might wonder, why are these here with all this beautiful stuff around? And so I'll tell you why. They're here because on them, well, this is a something called the Plate Project, and you might have read about it in Chimes. This is a way in which CNY Food Bank can advocate for the food pantries and people living with insecurity and living in hunger. And so there are three questions on these plates that are asked, and our pantry guests and volunteers wrote right on them. And when you come up for communion, I invite you to then come and read these plates. Here are the questions asked to our pantry guests. I visit this food pantry because... What would you say to our politicians to encourage them to fight against hunger? And finally, I care about ending hunger because. So as we live in this beautiful space, remember the simplicity, the beauty in these words. It gives voice and power to the people. And it's really unlikely, this clothesline with these simple plates, unlikely in this lovely space. We will look closely at the first window today, and we'll hear some insight from scholars, and finally, we'll ask ourselves, what can I bring? Our scripture today is from Matthew. The scripture on the window over here is from Luke. Matthew and Luke both wrote in the late first century, and around 80 or 90, and Matthew was probably written in the Syrian Antioch to an audience of Jews and Gentiles. And Luke, we don't know who wrote Luke really, and we also don't know where, but we know that he was affiliated with the ministries of Paul because Luke and Acts are volume 1 and volume 2 of a book. So Luke was written somewhere, one scholar said, around the Mediterranean Sea. So it really narrowed it down. So let me show you this so that you know kind of where we're talking about here. And yes, I did say Syria. Most scholars do not believe that Matthew was written by the disciple Matthew, but by an unnamed scribe and was later attributed to Matthew the disciple. Matthew's community was living in a place and time in which the Roman Empire ruled. It was an extreme rule. citizens were to be loyal to the king, to the emperor. The priests and temple leaders many times were in line with the Roman Empire because they paid no taxes as Jews, and they seemed to participate in some other corrupt things as well. So this is a time when the ruling class was made up of a very few rich, elite men and their families and their slaves. The poor were made up of mostly farmers, fishermen, and some local business people and artisans. But most of the economy, most of the people, and most of the land was used for farming. This was an agricultural society, and there was absolutely no middle class. So let's talk about Bethlehem. Bethlehem was very important to the author of Matthew because his purpose, one of his purposes in writing Matthew, is that he wanted Jesus to be aligned with Moses. With Moses and with David. And Bethlehem is also called the city of David. So Joseph's line, Jesus' father, stepfather, was in the line of David. So the link between Jesus and Moses. Moses was a prophet and a teacher of law, as was Jesus. Moses wrote the first five books of the Torah, and Jesus, in Matthew, had the five great discourses. So it was kind of natural that Matthew be the first book of the New Testament because of the five books, the five discourses, prophet and teacher. So the birth story is not in Mark or John, it's only in Matthew and Luke. And both of them were written using Mark and this Q source. So let's look at the first window here. And it's interesting because as they were put up on the slides, these images are so beautiful. I was taken that, wow, they're in our sanctuary. So the shepherds are only in the book of Luke. Scripture on the window comes from the acclamation of the angels to the shepherds, and it comes from Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Several of our hymns have been inspired by this encounter of the angels appearing to the shepherds. Number one, hark the herald angels sing, it came upon a midnight clear, and angels we have heard on high. The middle of our window, the shepherds, again from the book of Luke, came from humble beginnings. In the middle window, we see Joseph, Mary, and Jesus with an angel looking on, and the shepherds honoring and worshiping Jesus. What did they bring? The lamb sits at the bottom of the window. Given the importance of music to this congregation from the beginning, this may represent or remind us of the words from the hymn we just sang, In the Bleak Midwinter, by Christina Rossetti. And on the right pane, we see the Magi. Now, the Magi are only written about in Matthew. The Magi take a journey of faith. Now, there was skill involved, but there was a lot of faith in taking this long journey to meet and worship the Messiah. Herod, the story of Herod is only in the birth story with Matthew. And that is, again, because the author of Matthew wanted to link Moses and Jesus. Jesus was fleeing to Egypt and then came back to Nazareth, kind of like the Exodus of Moses. And the dreams are only referenced in the Matthew story, and that's because Matthew is linking Jacob's son, Joseph, and his gift of interpreting dreams. The angels appear to the shepherds, but it's not in a dream. Matthew's audience was not a part of the elites, the rich. So they were trying to figure out how they to find their way in the community of Roman rule, corporate and hypocrites in the temple leadership, and their faith as a Jewish or Gentile Christ follower. Matthew needed the church to know that the promises God made with Israel still held true. Jesus' teachings in Matthew show us the community, show the community the importance of keeping the Jewish traditions as Christ followers. It tells them a story of a rebel who believes in turning the tables on the ungodly wealth, ruthless kings, and the love God has for the poor, the oppressed. The king of the Jews is meant to shake things up. Kings could only be appointed by the hierarchy, not the poor peasants. And yet from the poor peasants comes the king of the Jews. Jesus came from humble beginnings, an unwed mother, unwelcome refugees in Bethlehem to be counted, the threat of death at birth and the unintended journey to Egypt for the safety of himself and his family. Are any of those things still happening or relevant in our world today? Yeah, I see shaking heads, yes. And yet, the Magi come to bring their gifts. They bring their gifts. They worship Jesus. They honor him. And the text never says how many Magi come to visit Jesus. The text does not give any detail about the Magi. But artwork and interpretation have given us the images that the Magi were men, not women. They were light-skinned, not dark-skinned. Some believe the Magi could have been men and or accompanied by women. Most believe the Magi were of varying skin color, not white. Also, the idea of three Magi came after the original text, and it's probably because of the three gifts. So how do we look at this window and this scripture for today? We can celebrate the birth of and life of Jesus, of course. But what else? We can be reassured that we will be startled by God over and over and over like the shepherds. And we are on a journey like the Magi. But what can I bring? What can we offer the world? What can we give to Jesus? We can come from anywhere, even humble beginnings, and have purpose. Each of us is a part of God's family. The Plates Project here give voice to those with humble situations. So what can we bring? Well, a listening ear for the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. What can we bring? Eyes that are not blind to the tired, the poor, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. What can we bring? A voice for justice. What can we bring? Prayer. Unceasing prayer. What can we bring? We can bring our whole self. Not bits and pieces, not the parts we think that are acceptable to our God, but all pieces, all parts. God knows us anyway, so why hide? What can we bring? Not just our Sunday selves, but our seven-day-a-week selves. We shouldn't just bring our happy, everything is okay self, or I'm too old or I'm too young to make a different self. We are on a journey together as we re-remember the life of Jesus through our stained glass windows, but we are also on a journey of faith. A journey which it is okay to show up as our whole self, not just the parts we think our community of faith here expect of us, but our whole self. What can we bring? We can bring our whole self, our whole heart. And I'm going to read from the hymn we sang earlier. What can I give him poor as I am, poor of any in any way, if I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I give him my heart. Amen.
What a blessing. Today is Holy Communion, a day in which we get to re-remember Jesus. So we got a couple things going on up here, and I think I'm going to explain it before we get into the liturgy because it's so beautiful and powerful. So we're going to talk through this. There'll be call and response, and you'll see it on the screen. We'll pray together, and you can read it out loud, or you can just sit and be silent, however this feels right to you. When we're done with that, just know all are welcome to come to the table. All are welcome. There's nothing you have to do before you come. Just come and be your whole self. Now, logistically, we have only gluten-free bread and only grape juice. So know those things. There'll be two stations up here when we get ready, and one will be this way, and we'll start with bread. And you have a choice here. Take the bread, and the next to that person is going to be a cup. And you can dip it, and we call that intinction. So you can do that and then eat it, or you can skip that person and go to the next person because they have little cups. And so what you can do is eat your gluten-free bread when you receive it, and then you can get a little cup of juice and drink that, and then we have another person that will be over here, and then you can drop your empty cup inside that. Now, there'll be another station identical, well, not identical, mirrored over there. When you've done this, you have some options. You can go sit back in your seat and just meditate. You can come and kneel at the communion rail and do whatever feels right to you there. And finally, I invite you this day to come up. We have this moved forward so that when you're done, you can come up here and you can take time to read these thoughts. Okay, I would love for everyone to read these so that they know what's on the hearts of our guests and our community. So, and then you can go sit down. All right, so let us get started. We know all that God has done for us, as well as all we could have done for others. Let us confess to God our failures and foibles as we pray together. We could proclaim your name, God of this holy season. We could tell others about all our gracious deeds. We could let your word guide our lives. Why? But you remember, faithful God, you remember that we put our trust in others, not you. You remember how we chase after idols, not follow you. You remember to save us in our distress, which is why you sent Jesus to us, our Lord, our Savior. But you remember, faithful God. In the silence, in the dreams, in the wonder, in the words, God comes to save us and have mercy on us. Be to God. Amen. May the God of Christmas be with you. Put your trust in the one who has come. Join all creation in praising God. God of our hopes and dreams, in that not so silent moment, you spoke to creation, and birds warbled in the morning, thunder rumbled over the waters, cows lowered in the meadows. These gifts were imagined and formed for us. Those shaped in your image, but we took up after death, getting up to follow sin. Prophets came to praise your name and to bring us back to you, but we thought they were trying to trick us. Then you sent Jesus, pioneer of salvation, to proclaim your name to us. With those who are shy and silent, and with those who persist in glorifying you, we offer our thanksgiving songs. Holy, holy, holy are you, everlasting God. All creation praises your name. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who put his trust in you. Hosanna in the highest. In the silence of the night, our God, your holiness became human, and you blessed us with Jesus, child of grace. When he could have stayed with you, he came to offer us help. When he could have remained in Nazareth, he got up to bring us the good news. When he could have played it safe, he shared his flesh and blood on the cross so we might have life through the resurrection. As we celebrate the gifts of his life, as we remember his death and rising to new life, we proclaim that mystery called faith. Christ died, putting his trust in you. Christ was raised, taking on the resurrection life. Christ will come to carry us home to you. Into these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place and on this bread and on this cup. As we eat the bread, sent us out to serve the hungry and the homeless, the lost and forgiven, and the broken and battered, all whose hopes have disappeared. As we drink from the cup, may we see the lonely and forsaken, the hurting and ridiculed, the oppressed and imprisoned, all whose dreams have become nightmares. And when we are gathered, our praises being offered to you, God in community, holy and one. Amen. As I said, all are truly welcome. Will my servers please come forward, and our ushers will invite folks to come row by row.
as folks are continuing to read from the plates in the front, and as we enter a time of Thanksgiving this morning, I'd like to remind everybody to place your attendance slips that look something like this into the plate as the ushers come down the aisle. And I'd like our first-time visitors who happen to be here today to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. Indeed, you are our guest, our gift today. We're grateful that you're here. Yet we do have a strong tradition here at the University Church of giving. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, our donations, our offerings. Out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Cannot change a world of hurt and pain to a world of love, of justice and in peace. Task is ours to do,
to set it really free. Must obey and carry out your will. The task is ours to do, to set it really free. Oh, help us to obey and carry out your will. The song that we sang as a doxology is indeed a new one, in more ways than one this morning. It has a powerful message, however, about the role we have to play in bringing about the kingdom of God. We'll get familiar with this as we sing it throughout this worship series. Please join me in the prayer of dedication as displayed on the screen. Lord, we come in prayer to you, burdened with our unhappy business, all the deeds done under the sun that we would rather not remember, the sound of sin in our world. Hearer of all, you know too clearly the sorrows of our world. Forgive us our sins and help us right the wrongs we've done. Most of all, tune our ears to the voice of Jesus, so that always and everywhere we might hear his song of peace for every creature under the sun. Amen. Our closing hymn, Star Child, on 2095 or on the screen.
Star child, earth child, queen of God, star child, Christ child, heaven's lightning rod. Street child, beat child, no place left to go. Earth child, used child, no one wants to know. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone, everyone alive. Grown child, old child, memory full of years, sad child, lost child, sorry told in tears. Spared child, spoiled child, having wanting more. Wise child, faith child, knowing joy in store. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone, everyone alive. Hope for peace, child, God's stupendous line. Down to earth's child, star of stars that shine. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes to everyone, everyone alive.
Well, we've had a full day. What a lovely day. The start of our new theme.
May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that is beyond knowledge, that you may be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Amen. Please be seated, and we're going to hear one more song.